This morning I've titled our message, Battling Temptation, Battling Temptation. As we've come to this book, James is the half-brother of Jesus, and he's writing to believers who've been scattered. You recall that James was the leader of the church at Jerusalem, and these believers have been scattered. They're facing trials. They're facing times of testing. Some of that is financial challenges, as they've been had things taken away from them, and they've had to go through times of being scattered abroad. But James is writing this letter to challenge them to live a life of spiritual maturity, to live a faith that reveals that there's spiritual realities of truth in their life. And so James, once again, reinforces genuine faith through different tests. And that's the context with which we come to this book. We mentioned that it's a letter, and so James kind of jumps around from topic to topic. But he very much presents what's on his heart as he writes this letter. In the first part of chapter 1 here, James told us how to have the right attitude in the midst of trials. And we saw, secondly, in verses 5 through 12 last week, that we are to seek biblical wisdom. There's no greater time than in the midst of trials to recognize that we need the wisdom of God. And so James addresses our hearts and directs our attention to seek wisdom that is from above, that God is ready to give it to his children. He desires to pour it out to help them, not only in the midst of their trials, but daily as well. Each of us, every day, need the wisdom of God, even if we're not going through the midst of a trial. As we come to verses 13 through 18 this morning, James transitions to now speak of temptation. In verses 2 and 12, the word temptation there is really trial. And the Greek word in verse 13 is temptation in the respect of being lured into walking away from what God has given us in his word. And James also puts these two together in some respect. That as we go through trials, if we don't respond correctly, we can be led into a place where we're tempted to sin against God. And so if we don't handle trials right, if we're not seeking wisdom, we can very easily be tempted to do wrong. We can be led into areas of spiritual temptation. As we ended our time last time, verse 12, blessed is the man that endures trials, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. And so if the believer endures these trials, he reveals that his faith is genuine. But if he doesn't handle these trials right, he can be led into temptation to sin against God. And so while these are two separate topics, they're kind of tied together as James is addressing this area, that trials, if not handled right, will lead us into a place of temptation. There's no person that doesn't battle temptation. Even the oldest person in the room or the godliest person still faces temptation regularly. Every day we face times where we're tested to give in to the flesh. As long as we live, we will constantly face temptation. But thankfully, the Word of God gives us instruction on how to handle temptation, how to battle against this flesh. In fact, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13, at the beginning of the verse, it says, there hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. That every person that has ever lived faces temptation. Every believer faces temptation on a regular basis. Wouldn't it be nice if when we put our faith and trust in Christ, that temptation would just go away? That would be wonderful, and we will experience that one day, but not here on earth. We will still battle temptation. We still have this fight of the flesh and the spirit, that they are struggles within our own nature because of our sinful condition in the past. We have that propensity to want to give in to the flesh. If we don't regularly seek wisdom from above, we will give in to temptation. And so verse 5 is a crucial verse, and that's why I've put that as our verse for this month, that we should seek the wisdom of God to have victory over trials and temptation. This morning, I want us to notice three aspects of battling temptation. Notice the first one in verses 13 through 14, the source of temptation. The source of temptation. Verse 13, let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. We find in these verses, James gives us the source of temptation. And he makes it very clear that in no respect is God the one who leads us to give in to temptation. Now, why does James do that? Well, because from the beginning of mankind, it has always been our human nature to blame someone else for the sin that we put into our life. Think back to the garden in Genesis chapter 3, when Adam and Eve were confronted with sin, what happened? Well, in verse 12, Adam says, the woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat. And then a little bit later, a few verses down, Eve is questioned by God, and she responds by saying, the serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. So what happens? Eve blames Satan, and Adam blames Eve, but actually he's blaming God because he says, you are the one who gave her to me. And so from the beginning of mankind, man has always shifted the blame of temptation. It's our natural desire to blame someone else. Man often will blame other people when confronted to giving in to temptation. How many times have we heard people also say, well, the devil made me do it. What are they doing? They're blaming Satan and they're passing the buck for giving in to temptation. But James even warns that we possibly can blame God for the temptation that we face. Notice again verse 13, let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. Remember, this is juxtaposition to James's topic of trials. If we don't respond right to trials, we can easily get to a point where we lose focus on trust in the Lord and lose focus on the wisdom of God to actually blaming Him in the midst of that trial. We can begin to blame Him for the situation that we are facing. Testings or trials on the outside often then cause us to be tempted to sin on the inside. And so James is putting these two together to say, let no man say when he's tempted to sin, I am tempted of God. Let's give some examples of this. Well, we can think of many times when we go through times of trial, and if we don't handle them right, that we end up falling into sin through that trial. Let me give you an example. A person faces a time of great struggle in serving the Lord, and he says, Lord, why have you given me this ministry? Why have you given me this job to do? And he's tempted to give up and blame the Lord for all the weight that is upon him. Or sometimes people go through a difficult marriage situation or a divorce, and they begin to question, does God truly even love me? What have they done? They've not taken the trial and sought wisdom. That trial has now led them to the point where they're blaming God for the situation. How about when someone loses a loved one, a parent, a spouse, and that difficult trial that they're going through would lead them to a point where they would become bitter against God for taking that loved one. See, if we don't seek wisdom that is from above in the midst of trials, we can be led into temptation to sin. Notice again the beginning of verse 13. He says, let no man say. Literally, it could read this way. Let no person say to himself that God is tempting him. James is making it clear in no uncertain terms that God cannot either directly or indirectly lead man into temptation. Proverbs chapter 19, verse 3, "The foolishness of man perverteth his way, and his heart rages against the Lord." It's our own heart that leads us to giving in to temptation. Every person is prone to blame someone else for giving in to temptation in their life. When our hearts begin to stray from the Lord, when we're not seeking wisdom, we are not then thinking biblically, and we're not seeking to know the wisdom of God to handle that temptation, and we'll be prone to blame someone else. It's as old as mankind to blame someone else for giving in to sin, to blame Satan, to blame God himself. And James says, no, the end of verse 13, "For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man." God cannot tempt people to sin. So what is the source of temptation? If James makes it very clear in verse 13, God is not responsible for temptation, well, then what is the source? Well, verse 14 gives us that answer. "But every man is tempted when he's drawn away of his own lust and enticed." The source of temptation is man's own sinful heart. It's his own heart that leads him to giving in to temptation. Notice the beginning of the verse, "every man," that it's universal, that there's not one who's exempt from battling temptation. But James is saying every one of us, we give in to temptation because we're led away from the deception and the propensity of our own evil heart. Notice how he describes it. He gives us a picture here, verse 14. He's drawn away of his own lusts. James is giving us a picture here of a hunter, someone that would put bait in a trap to lure an unsuspecting animal in to capture that animal. Some of you like to hunt. I'm not a hunter. I've never had a desire to do that, but I understand a little bit from an incident that happened when I was growing up. Our house growing up was very close to the house next door. We had just our driveway. It was a single-lane driveway between our property and the next house. And our garage kind of sat back from the house there. And so when you wanted to get to the car, you had to go out the house to the garage. It wasn't connected. Well, that was fine until the neighbor started having trouble with skunks and decided to put a big trap for skunks right outside their house, right next to our side door. And so they would come out every night and bait the trap, usually with some type of a chocolate with cream in there, and they would put it in there. And they would put it in this trap, and they caught several skunks. And we saw families, little baby skunks, going down our street sometimes. We had such a problem with them. But it really hit me one day when I was getting up early to go into work. It was about 5:30, and I opened up the door, and here's a skunk in that trap. And I thought, oh, no, how am I going to get to the garage? But I understood that that skunk had been lured in there by the bait. And that's the picture that James is giving to us. Notice again verse 14. "Every man is tempted when he's drawn away of his own lust." He's dragged away by this inner desire to give in to temptation. Notice he describes it further, the end of verse 14. "He is also then enticed." It's the deception of a trap or a hook. That's what James is portraying as he writes this letter. We've been drawn into the hook. We can think of a fisherman who likes to cast his bait out there so that the fish would be enticed and latch on, and the fisherman reels that bait, that fish in. Again, I'm not a fisherman, but I've seen others do that. And James is giving us a picture of someone, of this fish that's unsuspecting, grabbing onto that bait and being lured in and pulled in to the trap. Satan never gives us the pictures of the consequences of giving in to temptation. He baits the trap, and he waits for our inner desire to want that bait and give in to temptation. We can think of David and Bathsheba. When they gave in to their flesh, when they committed sin against God, they didn't see the consequences of a baby that would be die, a soldier that would be murdered, the consequences to their family in a greater respect, their daughter Tamar, who would be violated. They had no knowledge of seeing the consequences when they were giving into the moment of that temptation. And that's what James is saying. We're led away and we're enticed, we're dragged away because of the sinful propensity of our own heart. Seeing the bait, the human nature loses caution of his own heart. We see the bait, we want to give in. The problem is our own heart. And James is making it clear we cannot blame others. We cannot blame Satan. We cannot blame God. It's the condition of our own heart that has led us to give in to temptation. In Romans chapter 7, the Apostle Paul talks about this battle. And you remember he says, the things that I don't want to do, I do. And the things that I do want to do, I don't do. And he's revealing the heart of man, that he desires to do the things that he shouldn't do, and vice versa. Jeremiah 17:9 describes the heart this way. The heart is deceitful and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Every man that has ever lived faces temptation. We battle against temptation. And the propensity to give in to temptation is the wickedness of our own heart. That if we don't guard our heart, we will give in to temptation. If we're not seeking wisdom that's from above, we will easily be dragged away by the lust of our own heart into temptation. James says the source of temptation is our own heart. That we cannot blame other people. We must own up to giving into temptation because it's a desire from within. It's the wickedness of our own heart. So this morning, are we justifying our sin by blaming someone else? Maybe just in our mind we're saying, well, someone else led me to get angry at that situation or to look at something that I shouldn't. And we begin to blame circumstances or people, or we say, well, Satan made me be tempted into giving in this area. No, the temptation is our own fault. It's our own sinful heart. That is the source of temptation. Notice, secondly, the process of temptation. The process of temptation. Verse 15. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Do not err, my beloved brethren. James says not only is the source of temptation our own wicked heart, but he now shows us a little peek into the process of temptation. At verse 15, James shifts metaphors. He's now speaking of a mother who conceives and bears a child. And so he likens that to sin. We see something, it attracts us to lust after it. It leads us to sin, which then leads us to destruction. Temptation, if it's not confronted, will lead us to destruction. It'll damage our walk with God. It'll lead us to great consequences, like David and Bathsheba. It will lead us in a way of following our own heart instead of being rooted and grounded in our faith. Temptation itself is not sinful. It can be resisted. And James is telling us here that the process is, if we begin to toy with that temptation, it will ultimately lead to sin and destruction. But we can fight against temptation through the wisdom of God. Turn with me, if you would, to Romans chapter 5. How do we fight temptation? Well, temptation can only be broken by submitting ourselves to God. We're either living in the flesh or we're walking in the Spirit of God. And notice here in Romans chapter 5 where Paul reminds us that we're all born in sin. Notice verse 12. Wherefore, as by one man, Adam, sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. We're born in sin. Each of us are born in sin. We're born in that condition. But notice the great sacrifice down in verse 18. Therefore, as by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation. Even so, by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto the justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound, that as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. We have here the condemnation of all mankind through Adam, his falling into sin. The entire human race is now plagued with a sinful condition. But then we find this great hope towards the end of the chapter, verses 18 and 19, that there is one, Jesus Christ, who made a perfect, complete sacrifice for the atonement of our sin. That as we look at who Jesus Christ is and his work on the cross, that we find deliverance from sin. And so this morning, if you're here and you do not know Christ as Savior, you're still under the plague of sin. Because the Bible tells us that we have all been born in our sinful condition. But there is hope through Jesus Christ. That if you would repent of your sin and believe that God sent Jesus Christ, that he lived a perfect sinless life, and he died on the cross for your sin, and you put your faith and trust in him, you might have eternal life. And so in salvation, we find the grace of God giving us victory over sin. And so it is even as a believer, when we face temptation, by looking to Jesus Christ, we can have the source of relief to help us in our time of need. It's the natural process of giving into temptation that leads to destruction. And if you're here without Christ, it tells us, for the wages of sin is death. That is the end. Because of your own sinful condition, you will be led to an eternity in hell. But yet, through Jesus Christ, there is that offer of eternal life. And so here in James chapter 1, verses 15 and 16, we see James describing for us this process of temptation. The natural process of temptation is a desire that leads to deception, deception to design, and design to disobedience, which is sin. And so this process sends for us a great alarming warning that if we're not guarding our heart, if we're not seeking wisdom that is from above, verse 5, we will give in to temptation and it will lead us to destruction. How do we battle temptation? Well, we must begin by preparing for the battle. Romans chapter 13, verse 14. But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lusts thereof. For some of us, we need to prepare greater for times of temptation. There are things that we need to avoid, places where we should not go. Because we know that it's the propensity of our heart to give in to temptation if we go to that place. Maybe a place on the computer, it may be a physical place that tempts you. It may be a person that you know that tempts you towards sin. By seeing that person or that place, we have to prepare and avoid those places. We have to do battle in our own mind. We see the scripture constantly reminding us to think on things that are above. That if we're not guarding our mind, it will directly influence our heart and lead us away from the Lord. Verse 16, James says, "Do not err, my beloved brethren." James is saying, in light of this knowledge of the source of temptation and the process of temptation, do not be deceived. Do not blame others then for temptation. Place full blame for temptation on yourself. To come to a place where you recognize, when I give in to sin, it's my own heart that has led me to that point. We've seen the source of temptation, the process of temptation. Number three, the cure for temptation. Verse 17. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Of his own will begat he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. James says the only possible cure for temptation is to look to the Lord for help. Notice what he describes God here. What is he doing? Verse 17, he says, every good gift that is from above comes down from the Father of lights. What is he doing? He's reminding us of the character of our God. He's reminding us, in contrast to the thought that we can blame God, that God, no, instead is perfect, that he's holy, that he's righteous. He's reminding us that he is the one that does not tempt us, but instead he gives us every good and perfect thing in our lives. He's the only cure for man's temptations. One author said this, because God is holy, righteous, and just, by definition, he can have no part in sin in any way or to any degree. And so James is telling us in verse 17, he's the Father of lights. He gives us only good things. He cannot be the one to blame for giving in to temptation. There hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, once again, reflecting on his character, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way of escape, that ye may be able to bear it. James describes God as the Father of lights, that if we look to him, we can have victory when temptation comes. If we're looking to the character of our God, and we're focusing on him, and we're seeking wisdom, we can have the cure for our temptation. I think James is really drawing even a greater conclusion. If we take one step back and we look at what he's presenting here in these verses, he's really saying this: if God is perfect and righteous and we see him as the Father of lights, then how can we even be tempted to look at these evil desires? It's a great contrast that if we're looking to him, how can we even be lured away from him? How can sin even look tempting? Notice further, James tells us again in verse 18 of this source of cure. He says, of his own will begat he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Notice again, he says, verse 18, the word of truth, that is the gospel of Jesus Christ. That as we come to verse 18, James is saying there's only one way where we have victory over sin. It's through the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so it is, again, it's only through the word of God, as he uses instruments to preach the word of God and teach the word of God, that we can have instruction from him. Romans 10, verse 17. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Each one of us that have trusted Christ as Savior have accepted the truth that God's Word is infallible, that Jesus Christ is the only answer, and our faith clings to that. And James is saying that is the same reality for us as we face temptation, that the Word of God is true, that we look to Him, we look to Christ as the only cure for our temptation. What does God do? He gives us His Word and He gives us His Spirit to have victory when we're faced with temptation. You remember when Satan tested Jesus, he used the Word of God to continue to come back to when he was tempted, when he was tested. The only source of a cure for our temptation problem is the only one who is unchanging. Notice again verse 17, He's the Father of lights with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. God desires for us to battle temptation through His Word and through His Spirit. And He proves to us here in verses 17 and 18 that that will never change, that His character will never change. That as we look to the Lord, when we face temptation today, we can have victory. That tomorrow when we face temptation, He has not changed. We can look to Him and find the cure for our temptation once again. And so this morning we've seen the source of temptation, our own wicked hearts. That if we're not careful, the process is destruction. And we've seen also the cure for temptation. That we can look to Him, look to the one who is unchanging, that we can have victory when we're facing temptation. Our temptations will vary across this room. The things that I struggle with will be different from you, and vice versa, and the person next to you. But the cure for any temptation is the same. It's Jesus Christ. That as we look to Him, He can help us by reminding us of His Word and using His Spirit to help us to say no to the flesh, that He can help us resist the desire to give in to temptation. And so this morning, first of all, do you know Jesus Christ as your Savior? Have you repented and put your faith and trust in Him? But then secondly, believer, we are never exempt from temptations. Instead, we're given everything we need to battle against them. So as we look at our own lives, are we preparing ourselves every day to battle against temptation? Are you spending time in the Word of God? Are you submitting yourself to the Spirit of God? Are you looking to Him to help you as we face temptation? The cure is the same every day. Looking to Christ, looking to His Word to help us have victory in these areas. Shall we pray together? Our Heavenly Father, this morning we've been reminded of how wicked our own hearts are, how our hearts will often lead us astray. As Jeremiah described it, as deceitful and desperately wicked. And Lord, we recognize that we must first begin, as we look at this area of temptation, we must first begin by not blaming others. Lord, it's easy to pass the buck and to say it's someone else that made me sin, or to blame Satan himself, or to think perhaps that even you're not good and faithful. And we begin to blame you. But Lord, in contrast, we find the Father of lights with whom there is no variableness or changing. We find the perfect one. We find the one who is true and righteous. And that as we look to Him, we can have victory over temptation. And Lord, we need this every single day. There's not one of us here this morning that does not battle temptation. And Lord, there's not one of us here this morning that cannot hold the true cure for temptation. And so we thank You that You give us Your Word and Your Spirit to lead us. We thank you, Lord, that you don't leave us to our own ways, to our own devices, but Lord, that you give us your word to guide us. We thank you, Lord, for your sacrifice. We thank you, Lord, for the relationship that we can have with you. And so help us this week as we would face times of temptation. May we be reminded of James's word and his instruction here this morning, that we are to look to the one who will cure that problem. And we thank you for your will that will be accomplished. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.